Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church on this Remembrance Sunday. Nice to see that so many people got the memo about the time change as well. If some folks come in at 10 o'clock, just give them a smile and a nod. Just a few intimations to share at the start of our time this morning. First of all, a big thank you should be expressed to all who covered and filled Christmas boxes or donated money for Blythewood Cares Home. This particular year, 77 boxes and extra items and monetary donations have now been sent on their way with our prayers for the recipients to well done, and thank you to all who are involved in that endeavor. An intimation about Fair Trade Christmas cards, which are now on sale. For more information, please do speak with Miss Ann Brown. We have an intimation about Fusion, which is our Sunday evening gathering for youth, which is led by Suzanne Bunton and by others. We're looking for volunteers to help with one or more sessions of Fusion on Sunday evenings, and it meets from 6 until 8 p.m. at the church center. It's a great opportunity to engage with young people from our village. Many of them don't have a direct church connection. Is that right, Suzanne? But they still come along to Fusion to hear about the content of the Christian faith, and it's a great opportunity to engage in conversation and discussion and to learn maybe something new about the faith as we go through learning about it together. So please prayerfully consider if you find in your heart and your soul that you are someone who could give one Sunday evening or more to help contribute to this incredibly vital ministry. I know Suzanne greatly appreciates the support, but it's also good for the kids to have a variety of people committed to Christian faith come in and hear their stories and speak of them about things that matter most. So for more information about the opportunity to help with Fusion, please do speak with Suzanne. I have been asked to read a very, very brief letter from Tim and Jess Allen, who were recently married here in Kemnay Parish Church. I wrote to them a couple days ago just to check in, and they wrote back and asked me to share the following note with the congregation. They said, "We would like to say a special thank you to Joshua for conducting the service. Thanks to Jim Buchan and the Praise Band for the wonderful music. Thanks to Jim and Allison Hunter, and also thanks to everyone who came along to join with us in our celebration on the day. We are both so very happy with how it turned out, and our honeymoon trip to the United States of America was fantastic." So we wish them well as they continue their married life together. And last but certainly not least, I would invite my wife Heather forward now to share some information with us about a very important upcoming initiative. Heather.
But as Christians, we're also to remember the story, the biblical story. And I don't know about you, but in today's age, when I look around, sometimes I lose hope because I lose track of the biblical story. And that's what Reframe is all about. It's a 10-week discipleship course, which is going to begin in January. And we are going, as adults, to wrestle with the Christian story and what does it have to do with our lives Monday to Saturday, not just on Sunday mornings. And so I would encourage you to prayerfully think about attending Reframe with us. And you might go, oh, I'm not a person who likes change. I'm not so sure about this. Well, it will mean that the worship service will come 30 minutes earlier at 9:30. And if you're someone who doesn't want to embrace Reframe, the worship service will stand as it is, and it will be a beautiful time of worship. But if you have some questions about, do I really know the biblical story? Are there times in my life where I lose hope? Are there times where I have questions? I would encourage you to come to Reframe as we wrestle with those ideas. And if you have a grandchild or if you have a child, there is going to be fun activities for the children during this time. And perhaps you think, you know what? I don't want to wrestle it with ideas. But you're at a season of life of going, you know what? I'm tired of having tea by myself. I'm tired of eating alone. Afterwards, we're going to have a simple bowl of soup together. So there's going to be a lot more information about Reframe in the weeks to come. But today, I would simply encourage you to ask the question, Lord, are you calling me to be a part of that? Not to say no, not to say yes, but to be curious about it. So I'd encourage you to do that and think about praying us, of joining us for Reframe starting in January. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. And please do take those inserts home that Heather mentioned and read through them carefully. And as Heather said, please do prayerfully consider joining us for our Reframe initiative starting in January. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Any other intimations at all? Well, those intimations shared, let us enter into our time of worship together with singing our opening song of praise, Hear the Call of the Kingdom.
So fun.
Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the King. Let His song rise within you as a fragrant offering. Oh, our Lord, grant your mercy. Give in Christ to redeem all who trust in His unfailing grace. Hear the call of the kingdom to be children of heart with the mercy of heaven, the humility of Christ.
Day, Remembrance Sunday, is naturally a day of great solemnity. It's a day for reflection. This is a day when we as free people reflect on the past, especially on the events of the two great wars and wars and conflict in the world since that time. In many ways, I think the act of remembrance is an effort by the people of this land and people throughout the world to catch their breath, to gain sure footing so that we can make better sense of the present moment in which we live. I believe that the best teacher that we have in the present are those things that have already come to pass. People today seem to be in such a rush, don't they? Don't we? Our modern world seems to spin madly on. The number of hours in each week have not increased, try as we might, but they have not. But we keep filling our diaries with more and more and more. We are so busy. We are so caught up doing that we forget how to be. We're always in danger of forgetting the past. And in the words of a dear friend of mine, the highest tuition is always charged on lessons already learned. In the view of many, the United Kingdom and the United States are both now embarking on paths of great uncertainty. As a whole, the people of the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union. As a whole, the people of our home country, Heather and mine home country, I'm sorry, have elected a new president whose campaign for office was founded on bigotry, discord, and fear. We are always in danger of losing our way. And only through constant vigilance do we remain true to our highest ideals. Only by faith do we remain grounded in the gospel, which is the greatest reality of all. Remembrance Sunday reminds us that what happens in one part of the world has an impact on the rest of the world. For my own personal part, I look back with gratitude on the opportunity I had to serve my home country as a member of the United States Air Force Chaplain Service. I will forever be inspired by those brave men and women who I met, who served throughout the world, who, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, have laid so costly a sacrifice on the altar of freedom. We owe so much to those who have served, to those who are serving now. I would ask all of us now to please stand in respect as we prepare to hang the poppy wreath here in our church. Please be seated as we observe the 2 minutes of silence together. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We continue now in worship together with singing our next hymn, Lord, for the years, your love has kept and guided. And during the singing of this hymn, our offering for God's continued work will be uplifted. And one more note as well. As you depart from the church today, you have an opportunity to contribute to the work of Poppy Scotland. Your generosity for that cause is also appreciated.
thanksgiving. And at the end of this prayer, we will say together the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you now on this Remembrance Sunday to thank you for your goodness to us as a church and as a nation. We remember with thankful hearts those men and women who gave of their lives in two world wars last century and in many other more recent conflicts, some of which continue today. We remember also those who still live with their injuries from these conflicts. We thank you for their willingness to fight for the freedom of our country, freedom that we must never take for granted. Help us to be forever thankful for the enormous sacrifice that has and is being paid for our security. Help us to be forever thankful for the enormous sacrifice that has and is being paid for our security. We pray particularly now that the killing and maiming might cease in Syria, elsewhere in the Middle East. We pray that the warring factions might come together to seek peaceful solutions to their situation instead of continued bitterness and hatred. We pray for politicians everywhere that they might look to you for guidance in all their decision-making. We've just witnessed a long and sometimes spiteful presidential election in the USA, and we pray that the entire population there might unite now and live together in harmony in the days that lie ahead. We pray for the president-elect that he might acknowledge you as the one in control, whatever his stated beliefs. Now, our Father, we thank you for giving us a desire to come to church to worship you. We pray for everyone who will take part in this service. Bless them and us as we share this time together. We acknowledge you as creator of the world and everything and everyone we see around us. We thank you for the good health we enjoy, and we pray for those who we know who are not so well just now. We remember that as well as providing all our natural and material needs, you gave us the most precious gift of all, your only Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that through his death at Calvary, we can now know your forgiveness for the wrongs we've committed. Thank you too that we are assured of eternal life when we put our trust in him. Our Father, while we pray earnestly, we remember that there are times all too often when we let you down and displease you. We ask your forgiveness for the times when we don't do or speak as we should. Forgive us, we pray, and guard our conversation, our actions, and even our thoughts. We pray for our minister, Joshua Michelson, and ask that we might all be blessed by what he has to say to us today. Please be with him as he later conducts the service at the War Memorial in the village. We pray now that you accept our offering, that it might be used to further your work here, locally, and in other lands. We remember that our Lord Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and so we pray together now, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you, Adam. We continue now in worship together with singing our next song of praise, O Church, Arise.
first reading for today is taken from Micah 4, verses 1 to 4, and that can be found on page 932 of the Pew Bible. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. And the next reading is taken from Matthew 24, and that's verses 3 to 14, and it's on page 993 of the Bible. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And may God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Suzanne. We continue now in worship through song by singing together, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly King, in this time of worship, bring us before your throne of grace. Help us, Lord, to hear you speaking to us through the power of your living word. On this day of remembrance, we pray that your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us remember your grace for us every day of our lives. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. When I was growing up in Washington State, I loved going to the circus. Who here has ever been to a circus before? Quite a few. I'm still bothered deeply by clown cars to this day. How do they do that? Other acts were very impressive and inspiring in a different way. Seeing people in circus who could swallow swords whole, could juggle fiery batons without missing a beat, the list went on. I was always, always awestruck by the things I saw in the circus. But for me, one act stood above the others, quite literally. The act that was always most impressive for me were the high wire acts. You know the kind I'm talking about, right? The trapeze artists. But I was always especially impressed by those who walked on tight ropes suspended way up in the air. I remember watching them, and I think half my hands were in my mouth going at the time. And my lovely wife Heather will attest to you that I am not a fan of heights. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to do such a thing, to walk on a tightrope. Walking on a tightrope. That's the imagery that comes to mind for me on Remembrance Sunday. I will confess that this is a difficult day for me. I'm sure it's difficult for many of us for many reasons here today. I'd say that 98% of the time, I feel like I fit in quite well here. The other 2% of the time, and today is one of those 2% days, I am reminded that I am not, to use lingo from my home country, from round these parts. This kind of day, I find I must walk a tightrope between my own upbringing, my own culture, and this wonderful place that Heather and I call our home. The United States and the United Kingdom are very similar, but in their own ways, they're also very different. Heather's nodding her head. And my favorite quotes on this subject, of course, comes from Winston Churchill, that our two countries are separated by a common language. In our home country, the U.S., the 11th of November is known as Veterans Day. It's a day to be mindful of those who have served in the military, especially in times of war. That part is similar to Remembrance Day. But we have a separate holiday in the States in the end of May called Memorial Day, which focuses more on those who have lost their lives in combat. So what the UK does as one holiday, the United States essentially splits into two. So for us in the States, there is no such thing specifically as Remembrance Sunday. Some churches back in the States make mention of Veterans Day, of course, but many others do not. The so-called separation of church and state in the United States gives license for many churches to pay absolutely no mind to Veterans Day. Many churches even refuse to have an American flag in the sanctuary at all and be none the worse for wear because of it. But that's often not the case here in the UK, is it? Here in Scotland. By virtue of being on this side of the ever proverbial pond, Great Britain as a whole has stood in closer proximity to the two great wars. And I think there's no way to succinctly state the impact that those wars have had on the collective consciousness of the people of this wonderful land. It'd be strange if it were not shaped heavily by two visceral and lasting experiences of what your own Robert Burns referred to as man's inhumanity to man. The other factors feed into Remembrance Sunday that make it distinct for us. The Church of Scotland is very proud of calling itself the National Church. The National Church! I've always found that to be a very strange combination of words. And to me, this identity as the National Church on this day brings the imagery of walking a tightrope back to mind again. If we lean too hard one way on our tightrope, we fall off, and we are perceived as glorifying and romanticizing war, as endorsing political and public policies that are conducive to conflict. It is possible on this day to become too much the Church of Scotland and not nearly enough of the Church in Scotland. If we lean too hard the other way on our tightrope, we fall off in the other direction. We are then perceived as being disrespectful of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy on a daily basis. It can be very difficult to walk such a tightrope. But I think when it comes to remembrance, this day, I think that we as Christians belong on the tightrope. I think this is shown to us in how Scripture itself approaches these bigger issues of war and peace. Both are, of course, powerful themes throughout the Bible. When it comes to these issues of war and peace, that's what remembrance is really all about, is it not? There is a balance and a tension within Scripture itself. But it's not an unresolvable tension of two equal powers. Let us be crystal clear. The ultimate trajectory of the Bible, and therefore of our faith, is a trajectory towards peace, towards resurrection, towards wholeness for all of creation. From start to finish, the wider arc of the Bible is an arc of redemption. All will be well in the end. But the biblical story is not a pie in the sky sort of story. And this is shown to us in passages like the one that Suzanne read for us from Matthew 24. This passage that talked to us about signs at the end of the age. And what we heard in this passage could be very descriptive of our world today, I think. Jesus said in this passage to his disciples in private, when they asked when these things will transpire, he will say, "You will hear about wars." Those are our Lord's words. And today, do we not hear of wars in our world? Whether it's the Islamic State, conflict with North Korea, Iran, ever-present tension in the Holy Land waiting to erupt again, we as a world face the reality of war on a regular basis. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He talks about you will hear of wars. You also hear of rumors of wars. Rumors are almost worse than the truth, aren't they? Rumors set the mind a-spinning, and it's hard to stop. The what-ifs are almost more disturbing than the what-is. We all know what happened this week. We've already alluded to it a couple times. We've had an election in the United States. With his election, there are rumors of wars. How will he behave as president? That is a burning question that should be on the minds of all free people. But on a lighter note, one of the best headlines I saw about his election, by the way, was local Aberdeenshire businessman wins U.S. presidency. If you want to claim him, that is. But throughout this passage in Matthew, Jesus is quite clear that all these things, these wars and rumors of wars, are the beginning of what he calls the birth pains, towards what he calls, in verse 14, the end. And in verse 13, he says, only those who endure till the end, even if others fall away, even if others lose faith, only those who endure shall be saved. It's one of those very sobering passages from the Gospel of Matthew, and there are many in Matthew like that. Now, the usual practice when we read the Bible and we study the Bible together as Christians is that we go from Old Testament to New Testament. We read the Old, we did it this morning, we read Old Testament first, and then we read the New Testament. We go from the promise of the Old Testament to the fulfillment of the New Testament. That's our comfortable, usual pattern. That's how we resolve any tensions we find. Sometimes it works rather well. But sometimes we need to see it in a different way. Sometimes we can only find the hope we seek by looking back instead of forward. Sometimes we need to see the New Testament in light of the Old Testament. And so we turn to the prophet Micah, the fourth chapter, when he gives this grand and glorious vision of peace and wholeness for all of creation. It's almost word for word used in Isaiah chapter 2 as well. And like Matthew 24, this passage from the prophet Micah's writings also speaks of the last days. And what a glorious picture it presents to us in the here and the now. This vision from Micah speaks about the mountain of the Lord on which God's temple resides, the highest of the mountains, elevated above all. People shall flow to the temple, all nations, not just Israel, but all the nations shall come and worship the God of Israel so that they will learn and follow the ways of the Lord. The text tells us that the law or the Torah, the guidance, teaching of God will flow out from there to all the world. What a grand and glorious vision of what the end will look like, according to Micah. It's been many years since Micah's beautiful vision was recorded. We ask, is our world really moving towards this joyous destination? Doesn't it ever seem like our world might be moving in the opposite direction, towards further calamity and destruction? Why doesn't God just show up and put all things to right? What's taking so long? How will this all work out? These are great questions to ask us. And all we can say is Micah does show us a vision of peace. He doesn't give us all the details, but he does reveal God's ultimate will for creation in this vision. If we take a closer look at this passage, especially at verse 3, probably the most famous verse in the passage from Micah, this is the verse about swords and plowshares, spears and pruning hooks. It's beautiful imagery, isn't it? Weapons of destruction being recrafted, refined to weapons to till and care for the earth. All too often we sit back and I think we wait for God to show up, to put all things to right. And God is certainly involved in the redemption of the world. But here's the thing. He does not wish to do it alone. It might seem like a very small thing, I might be splitting hairs, but look at who the actors are in verse 3. First, God is judge of all the peoples. He decides between them. That's his right and position as the Lord of all. But who is beating swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks? They, that's the word, referring to the nations, referring to us. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. The fulfillment of God's plan for peace requires our participation. We must participate, not because God is too weak to do it alone, but because God wills it to be so. God's plan and purpose for each of our lives is full spiritual maturity, to become full sons and daughters of the Most High, fully mature in Jesus Christ. And as the image bearers of God, as those who carry his name into the world, we are the ones who must beat swords into plowshares. We are the ones who turn spears into pruning hooks. In a world of dictators, despots, in a world of reality TV stars turned presidents, in a world of ever-deepening political division between families and friends, we as Christians must live differently from the world around us. We must, to quote Gandhi, be the change we wish to see in the world around us. And already there are so many signs of hope. There are so many signs that this vision from Micah is ever so gradually coming into focus. We live in a time, perhaps, of the greatest global awareness of the need for human rights, for the preservation of universal human dignity. I'm not sure we've ever had a greater awareness of the need to care for our environment than we have now. We have a greater awareness of atrocities committed. There is nowhere for dictators to hide anymore in our world. We know where they are at. Especially in places far too long plagued by war, such as Africa. Even in the face of Brexit and the U.S. election, out of these two events, we see an awareness of the need to participate ever more in the political process, to make our voices heard for those things we know to be right. There are so many people in our world striving to be symbols of hope. So many people striving to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And on this day of remembrance, this Remembrance Sunday, we walk the tightrope between war and peace. We walk the tightrope. But we're not walking it towards an unknown destination. On this day, when we remember wars past and wars present, the good news is that we're walking the tightrope towards God's great plan of redemption, already underway. And to see it, to know it, to be a part of it, we as people of faith must be willing to look forward to the past. We must look forward to what God has already revealed in the prophets like Micah, and especially to what God has revealed for all time in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Because it is in Jesus, now and always, we have the first and surest sign that one day sorrow will yield to joy. Death will give way to life. So on this day, let us remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. But even more, let us remember the living God, who by his grace is calling each of us to live and work for the day when war is no longer learned, when all peoples shall dwell at peace in the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us through your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to always remember those who have laid down their lives for us. But even more, help us remember your grace, your power, your presence. Help us remember that the day is coming when your peace shall reign supreme. Help us, Lord, in our own lives to commit ourselves to this cause in every way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll sing together our next song of worship, May the Peace.
Let us continue in worship through prayer. Father God, for those who have paid the price for us, we say thank you. Father God, for those who are serving today for our freedom, we say thank you. And so as Christians, we give our soldiers to you today. Refugees, those who feel forgotten and voiceless, those in hospitals and those who are grieving, our prime ministers, our presidents and our presidents to come. We give to you war-torn countries and countries of peace. We give you our loved ones and we give you our enemies. And we pray, Christ be with us, Christ within us, Christ behind us, Christ before us, Christ beside us, Christ to win us, Christ to comfort us and restore us, Christ beneath us, Christ above us, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love us, Christ in mouth, a friend or stranger. We pray this today in your name. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn of praise, and one change to that, James, up at the computer, we'll be singing the first and last verses of our hymn, O God, our help in ages past. As people of Christian faith, we must look forward to the past, to what God has revealed, live into the vision of hope offered to us in Jesus Christ, and go forth from this place and share that vision with others. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this Remembrance Sunday and forevermore. Amen. God save the Queen. God save our Queen.